and say again good morning, because this is our second meeting. As we are having this joint meeting together with the select committee, we would like to start by introducing ourselves. We can quickly do that so that we can then proceed with our business. My name is Dorothy Ramodibe, the chairperson of the portfolio committee, this committee.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Chief Mabi, the chairperson of the Select Committee on Women, Children, and People with Disabilities.
Thank you, Chairperson. Good morning. My name is Grace Degen, the member of the Portfolio Committee.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Sarah Peters, and I'm a member of this committee.
Thank you. Morning. I'm Sarah Folger. I'm a member of this committee.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Colin Musimani, member of the committee.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Liesel Namarva, and I'm a member of this committee.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. I am Isidre Nfilia Dicepelo, also a member. Thank you.
My name is Denis Kekana, member of the portfolio.
I'm Thabo Makunyane, member of the select committee.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Dale Worth. I'm a member, member of this committee, on the select committee. Thank you.
Morning. My name is Manana Chake, member of the committee.
Morning. My name is Julissa Lobatana, and committee secretary.
Good morning, I'm Chris Levendell, these are capable toilet committee.
Good morning, Tashra Edwin, content advisor, capable toilet committee.
Good morning, Maria Solomon, committee secretary, capable committee.
The microphone.
Good morning, Tashra Edwin, Matthew, speaker, capable committee.
Good morning, my name is Lita Gazunguva from Ministry of Women, Children and People with Disabilities.
Good morning, I'm Ayeta from the Office for Institution Support and Democracy. Take it off. I'm Yoko and I'm from the Office of
I think we know who are here. We are now going to ask our deputy minister to also do the same with the interim minister of someone we need to do. She's the deputy minister of Women, Children and People with Disabilities, but focusing on persons with disabilities. Can we get the next one to introduce himself?
Commissioner at the South African Human Rights Commission.
I'm Judith Kerr, I'm also from the South African Human Rights Commission, and I'm accompanying the Commission last today.
I'm Edith Zaboro from the Human Rights Commission.
I'm Ben Gacy from the Department of Social Development in the Northwest.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Khadim Olor, the Executive Mayor of Francis Barr District Municipality in the Northern Cape.
Good morning. My name is Lerato. The surname is Wanodise from the Department of Agriculture and Rural Development in the North.
Good morning, Chairperson.
and honorable members of both SLAP committee and the portfolio committee. My name is Pemi Majotina, MEC for Social Development and Social Programs in the Eastern Cape.
Good morning, my name is Matuto Mdumi, Office of the Deputy Minister, Ministry for Women, Children and People with Disabilities.
Good morning, my name is Nzolisi Katoni. I'm the Deputy Director General in the Department for Women, Children and People with Disabilities.
Good morning, it's Simon Zulu from the Deputy Minister's Office. Thank you.
Thank you very much for the introduction. I think we will all feel comfortable now that we know who is here. Deputy Minister, let me welcome you once more after a very long time. Since you have been recuperating from the illness after the accident, we hope that you are now well. Since you are here with us, and we are happy to see you back. We also want to welcome the NEC, acknowledge your presence, and the mayor. Also welcome. We are acknowledged, ma'am. It really shows that it is now time that we begin to take, you know, the subject that we've been dealing with seriously. As we are always saying that this is the most neglected sector. And we really appreciate your presence here with us. We are having a joint meeting with the NCOP, so we will be co-chairing with the chairperson of the NCOP, Mali. This morning we'll be getting a briefing from the department on the status of women for 2012 and the United Nations Convention on the Rights of Persons with Disability and the report back on the State Parties Conference held in New York. We will hear from the Deputy Minister if they are ready. I think the floor is yours, Deputy Minister.
Thank you very much, Chairperson and Honourable Members, MEC, Mayor, and Commissioner Advocate Malachi and the team. Thank you very much, Chairperson, for the opportunity for the delegation that attended the fifth State Parties Conference on Persons with Disabilities, focusing on the issues of children with disabilities, women with disabilities, access to ICTs and accessibility. Chairperson, on the 5th of August, we arrived to brief the Portfolio Committee on preparation and our participation on this particular conference that was held in New York. We outlined, firstly, that the Conference of State Parties on the Convention on the Rights of Persons with Disabilities is an annual event taking place in September just before the General Assembly. The discussion and decisions of the conference therefore features prominently in the Secretary General's report to the General Assembly, and the 2012 Conference of State Parties was held from the 12th to the 14th of September 2012 at the United 2012 at the United Nations New York. Please, then the type was that is at 2014 in Real Harris. The theme for this conference, just to remind the members from the day that we briefed the committee, was making the Convention on the Rights of Persons with Disabilities count for women and children. Chairperson, if we take a step back in terms of how we went about preparing for this particular meeting, we sent out invitations to all institutions relevant to the agenda of the conference, including ministries, premiers, district mayors, portfolio and select committee, as well as guided by the agenda, the Council
Board, the South African Human Rights Commission, and the Commission on Gender Equality. We also ensured that in terms of ensuring consistency that none of the department institutions, provinces, municipalities that have not made a contribution or made submissions to the development of the country report could go to New York. So that was another way of saying you can't want to go to New York when you have not submitted your input to the country report. What contribution are you going to make? And we implemented that very stringently. The Portfolio Committee on Women, Children and People with Disabilities was briefed on the 1st of August, as I was already said, and to ensure that the delegation that goes meets all the requirements, a compulsory briefing was held in Pretoria on the 3rd of September prior to departure, where the whole delegation was fully briefed and responsibilities allocated to them. And a final compulsory briefing of the delegation was held in New York on the 11th of September to make sure that everybody has the proper brief mandates and everybody is allocated to the different responsibilities. Sheraton, the delegation was led by myself and Deputy Minister Belanda Beni for communications, and I would like the committee to engage her further and her department because they were responsible for access to ICT's section of the report. Ms. Mosutana Khape Mokonela Mutibi, who is the MC for Development, Women, Children and People with Disabilities in the Northwest, represented today by Kanfatuma Wisilengesi. The MC has tendered support air policy. Dr. Penny Magdalena, the MEC for Social Development, Women, Children and People with Disabilities. We always emphasize that because we remove the special project so that we know that it's about us, Chairperson. And who is here today? Mr. Jonathan Shishu, who is the MEC for Agriculture, Land Reform and Rural Development from the Northern Cape, represented by the Rasha there, who was also part of the support team to the MEC. And also we serve the support team to the MEC in New York as well. Councillor Mary Muloi, who is here as the executive mayor for the Francis Park District Municipality. Councillor Queen Duba, who is the MMC responsible for human settlement in the Ekurhuleni Metro. And then Honorable Tatama is there as the chairperson of the Select Committee on Women, Children and People with Disabilities. Honorable Denike Kana, representing the Portfolio Committee for Women, Children and People with Disabilities. Advocate Joe Malachi, representing the Commission, the South African Human Rights Commission, Commissioner Koshia Luilani, representing the Commission on Gender Equality, and Mr. Benzile Masebula, who was the candidate that we were presenting as South Africa to the State Party's Committee on the Rights of Persons with Disabilities. I need to upfront, despite the requirement by the Convention on the Rights of Persons with Disabilities that government delegations include people with disabilities, as the department, due to financial challenges, we were not able from the national government to include people with disabilities, but we did have the participation and representation from the delegation of the province of the Northwest, which assisted us to meet and comply with the requirements of the convention. There were 15 government officials that supported the delegation, and then an additional 7 which were providing reasonable accommodation as the delegation was constituted by a high number of people with disabilities. So the 7 people were those that were providing the reasonable accommodation to people with disabilities. The total number of the delegation chairperson was 34, including myself. It's important for me to highlight to the committee that the department only covered costs for 7 people in the delegation, which was myself as the leader of the delegation, my personal guide, the candidate that the country was presenting, the candidate is on a wheelchair and hair care dependent assistant, 2 people from the office of the deputy minister, and 1 person from department. So the Department for Women, Children and Persons with Disabilities only covered costs of
7 people of the 34. The rest of the delegation utilized their own respective budgets. The main discussion areas, as we had briefed the committees, prior to departure, the state parties content focused on functioning of the Committee on Persons with Disabilities. That's the United Nations Committee that is established to oversee the implementation of the convention. Progress to date on of member states. Information, communication, technology and accessibility, which is Article 9. Issues of children with disabilities, Article 7. Issues of women with disabilities, Article 6. And inter-agency dialogue on the implementation of the convention by the United Nations system, all of its different entities. A report from the Special Rapporteur on the Standard Rules on Disability. And we also attached on members' package the opening statement, the country opening statement, which was read by myself, as well as the statement where we were participating as a country and auditing the round table on children with disabilities is also attached. There were a number of such events, Chairperson. There was a civil society forum convened by the International Disability Alliance, which is national bodies of persons with disabilities that constitute that, which has an observer status at the UN. They convened a meeting on the 11th to prepare the effective participation of people with disabilities in the state parties meeting. A working session on the rights of children with disabilities was convened by UNICEF on the 14th and 15th of September. A number of registered workshops convened by external stakeholders also took place, which was intended to empower delegations and member states on how to deal with issues of the rights of persons with disabilities. The session of women with disabilities convened by Women and Able, which produced a protest statement on the exclusion of women with disabilities on other UN events, such as the Commission on Status of Women, the CSW, the CDO Committee, and all the other UN-related women aspects does not necessarily include issues of women with disabilities. So women with disabilities had a protest at the state parties conference to highlight their exclusion by the UN and other UN bodies, but also their exclusion by member states to participate in all other aspects outside of the state parties meeting. Our general observations, Chairperson, is the partnership between government and organizations of disabled people were very eminent at the meeting because the notion of self-representation was given life. So member states took the participation and representation of people with disabilities as part of the national delegations very seriously. That increased the number of people with disabilities that participated. The agenda, Chairperson, was too tight, did not give time for substantive debates and interaction because by the time the state parties sat, the state parties meeting was convened for 81 countries, and you can only participate in it once you've signed and ratified the convention. And a week before the state parties, the number of countries that deposited came up to 119. So that made all the logistics be a bit of a not so properly tightened up by the UN system because they had allocated and made time for 81 and they ended up with 119, which is a plus for people with disabilities in the world because their member states are ratifying both the convention and the optional protocol. The quality of discussion papers presented was indeed of a very high standard, and the effective participation of people with disabilities as presenters was also very eminent. The principle of self-representation, as I said, was very verbal, and people with disabilities was indeed given a chance alongside member states. One of the aspects, as said, that it was making the convention help for women and children, we need to say that the participation of children was also upheld by other delegations. We have not, Chairperson, been able due to lack of resources from our side. We hope that next year we'll be able. But the participation, other countries observed as children had an opportunity to speak and engage on the round table intended for children with disabilities. The agenda of disability was elevated as some countries
as delegations were led by their deputy presidents and their prime ministers. And that was a clear indication of how serious those member states take the issue of disability. What are the outcomes, Chairperson, that we come back with for the committee to further engage on? The outcomes on the roundtable on children with disabilities, the conference of state parties emphasized the importance of representation by children with disabilities on matters affecting them. And as member states, we are supposed to put in place measures that will ensure child participation in line with Article 12 of the Convention of the Rights of the Child, which is applicable to children with disabilities. We need to ensure access to education, both from early childhood development up to higher education, including skills development for those that with disabilities does not make them to participate effectively in the mainstream. Member states are supposed to actually intensify access to early childhood development and access to education, as well as alternative education methods for those children that have severe disabilities. Support to families of children with disabilities. Member states were directed to develop programs to support, because sometimes it is the families that perpetuate discrimination, expose children with disabilities to abuse, and it is difficult for member states to regulate the domestic issues. So it's important that support and programs be developed by member states to support parents and families who have children with disabilities, and this will benefit the development of the child. Member states should take measures to engage parents of children with disabilities and develop programs, as I said. Development of measures to protect children with disabilities in armed conflict and natural disasters and emergencies. It was said that at the moment, all the natural disasters, armed conflict, all the different challenges that member states deal with tend to compromise children with disabilities, and that member states need to begin to look into the integration and the development of such strategies and what measures will be taken into consideration. Measures to recognize sign language as a first language for deaf children, and for member states to develop measures and make commitments to develop in that language, as it will go a long way to integrate deaf children. Access to early child development, as establishment of accessible child-friendly justice systems that is responsive to the needs of children with disabilities. This point, Chairperson, is a very important point as well for South Africa, because our legislation, the Convention, the Children's Act also emphasizes that we need to look at the implementation and engage the Department of Justice to that effect. Proper training of professionals that deal with children with disabilities, and also that we need to ensure that our human resource strategies begin to be responsive to some of the professionals required. Chairperson, on the information communication technologies, will highlight that, as indicated earlier, the committee should feel free to engage the Deputy Minister Ndabeni, as she has led that particular section of the delegation, and I think that I'll leave it to the Chairperson to further engage her and her delegation in that regard. But the review of what came out very prominently that member states should look at is the review of intellectual property legislation, both locally and internationally, because it prohibits education for children with disabilities, access to information for visually and deaf people, and it becomes a barrier to further development of information in accessible format. Member states are required to look into that, including at an international level in terms of our different treaties that we participate in. The issuing of assistive technology licenses to reduce monopoly and make the market competitive. Chairperson, if you take South Africa at the moment, in terms of assistive devices, everything is imported, and the Department of Trade and Industry and the companies that develop this have only issued one license to a company called Sensor Resolutions, and if you need something, you can only get that through them. That makes the prices very high, but also it does not really make it compatible. But also that these companies have hold the intellectual property rights to the development, which makes innovation and technology a challenge. That was also addressed in terms of that, so that member states can begin to engage in that sense. The investment in innovation and product development research, member states were encouraged to do that, as this might give these companies a challenge and increased competition
and to an extent bring the prices down. It was also suggested that member states look at the promotion of open source based software, because at the moment all the accessible software are individualized and licensed, and that a member state should look at the open source and networking, which will bring the prices down. And the example of Japan in putting their Daisy Reader, where every blind person in the world can access it through the internet, was used as a typical example of breaking the monopoly. On issues of women with disabilities, member states should enhance the participation of women with disabilities in the Commission on Status of Women, which is held in February every year, and to also begin to facilitate the inclusion of issues affecting women with disabilities in the deliberations of that commission. The recognition of disability as a form of discrimination under CEDAW, which is the convention to eliminate all forms of discrimination against women, to facilitate effective participation of women with disabilities in those committees, and for member states to present reports that talk to the issue of discrimination and the discrimination faced by women with disabilities as a particular group alongside rural women. Incorporation of issues of women with disabilities within the UN Women Agency at the country level. At the moment, since UN Women was established, the strategies that UN Women have developed does not talk to the issues of women with disabilities. And member states at the country level were requested to begin to engage UN Women as an agency to begin to highlight and support issues that affect women with disabilities. Promotion and protection of the rights of women and girls with disabilities, as it was evident at the State Parties Conference that despite the Convention on the Right being 20 years old and CEDAW being 30 years old, these two conventions have not contributed to a significant change in the lives of children with disabilities, despite Article 23 speaking about them and CEDAW itself as a convention that deals with issues of discrimination against women. So member states were requested to really revisit that particular aspect. The Conference of State Parties recognized the domestic violence as a cause of disability, but also commented on the high level of gender-based violence and violence against women and children with disabilities, and that member states should take appropriate measures to begin to protect and ensure they access justice. Measures ensure that women with disabilities can exercise their reproductive rights was also emphasized, as a number of member states had enacted legislation of forced sterilization where they sterilize women with disabilities just by virtue of them being disabled. So member states were asked to revisit that. On the issues of different UN agencies, we just picked up a few. UN Habitat was one of the agencies that had to outline how they are going to implement, but also received a number of directives. They need to ensure the implementation of universal access design principles are adhered to in all infrastructure-related programs around the world that UN Habitat is responsible for. They also need to ensure inclusion of people with disabilities in emergency relief measures, which they are facilitating across the world. They need to provide uniform framework on accessible cities for local government and begin a process to engage local government in terms of the rehabilitation of cities to make it a more accessible and friendly for people with disabilities. The United Nations Development Economic and Social Agency, which is the agency chairperson that serves as the secretariat to the Committee on the Rights of Persons with Disabilities, but as the UN agency that convenes the Conference of State Parties. They were directed to, amongst others, ensure that there is a guideline that's developed for member states that will facilitate a uniform data collection standard and also information management, information knowledge management systems, so that there could be some uniform reporting and universal definitions of different disabilities and classifications, so that member states could be measured and monitored on a consensus document. They must also develop a universal ME framework that will ensure, that will serve as a tool to guide member states in their own ME framework.
They are also tasked to ensure that they deal with the issue of the time allocated to the Committee on People with Disabilities. Chairperson, currently, the Committee on People with Disabilities only meets for 2 weeks a year, while all other committees meet for 4 weeks. So that is leading to a number of deadlocks, and the committees have requested member states that the matter is urgent, and a lot of member states have not paid attention. It's important that the UN deals with increased time allocation. The mainstreaming of disability in all UN programs. At the moment, Chairperson, the only time the UN deals with issues of disability is during the state budget meeting. So member states felt that it's about time that UN DESA take the responsibility to ensure that whichever UN agency that meets at whatever agenda item, they need to ensure that issues of disability are included. But also ensure that member states submit disabled people as candidates to all other UN committees, as we are aware that the different committees, from the Committee on the Rights of the Child to the CEDAW Committee to different committees, and the member states felt that it's about time that disabled people are able to not only serve in their own committee but also serve in all other committees, and UN needs to develop an implementation strategy for that. And also member states need to train their election officers to begin to submit disabled people as candidates. On the office on the Human Rights Council, they needed to ensure that their infrastructure and IT is made accessible to facilitate effective participation of people with disabilities. Chairperson, the council sits in Geneva, and a concern was registered by a number of disabled people's organizations that when the committee sits in Geneva, the participation of disabled people is actually limited. As one, the infrastructure is inaccessible. The closest you get to the council when you are on a wheelchair is at the gate, and you can't go anywhere further. Also, if you are outside of the UN headquarters, when you are in the UN headquarters, if members might have picked up, there is what we call web access for deaf people. So as you speak, the computer types automatically and develops subtitles so deaf people can follow. But those facilities are not there in the UN offices in Geneva. So as a result, the participation of deaf people in Geneva is limited. But also, when disabled people are able to follow the discussions of the state parties, as we sit in New York, from any corner of the world through their mobile phone or internet or whatever accessible device. But away from New York, such don't exist, and that was raised as a matter of concern by disabled people's organizations. To ensure that the audit of independent monitoring bodies within member states is finalized, Article 32 of the Convention requires member states to actually designate an independent monitoring agency for the Convention outside of government. In a South African context, that's the Commission, the Human Rights Commission, but in other countries that has not been finalized. So it was then requested from the High Commissioner that they need to finalize that so that all member states are going to give effect to Article 32. They need to develop an advocacy and mainstreaming knowledge-based training tools and toolkits on the convention so that countries are able to train their public servants and government officials to be able to implement the convention. Ensure effective participation of people with disabilities in terms of MLE implementation agents. On this one, the Office of the Human Rights Council was directed to actually partner with organizations of disabled people to empower them through with MLE mechanisms so that they are able in their respective countries to hold government accountable for the implementation of the Convention on the Rights of Persons with Disabilities. And I want to confirm that with the work of the Department Chairperson, we have managed to partner with organizations of disabled people in South Africa and the New York University, and our deep disabled people's organizations are actually, as we speak, going through a detailed MLE training to be able to hold all of us accountable. They are being trained as we speak, and we've managed to interact with the UN and all the supporting agencies, and they've accessed resources, and they are being trained. So we can start worrying about the MLE aspects of coming and begin to ensure that our accountability measures are in place. The UNDP was tasked to develop guidelines on for all
UN agencies, because what came out as the UN agencies were reporting was that they themselves have not developed or internalized or engaged with the convention. They've not understood and internalized the implications of the coming into effect of the agency, and they have themselves not dealt with issues of disability. So the members, the state parties conference said to the UN family, UNDP, you need to take the leadership in terms of ensuring that there are proper guidelines on disability for the UN family. They also need to provide legal support to member states that needs it to be able to ratify the convention. A lot of member states that have not ratified the convention said that they don't have the know-how to engage disability issues and they don't have the technical aspects to be able to deal with it. So UNDP was requested to assist those countries so that we can get universal ratification. Integrate disability across UN funding programs. The UN funds a number of countries programs. It was UNDP was directed as the agency that distributes a lot of funding, that they must develop funding guidelines so that they don't fund countries that are unable to provide information on how people's disabilities are going to benefit in UN-funded programs. They need to work with UN data to put together all UN agencies in terms of what role can the UN family play in terms of regional integration and what programs must be developed in that regard. The Committee on the Rights of Persons with Disabilities, as the custodians, as well as the MNE and those that hold us accountable, they requested that the committee, resolve that the committee be given an additional week to sit, which will make it 3 weeks a year. They also, as a committee, raised the concern that member states are not complying with the deadlines of submitting the reports, which makes the committee work very difficult in terms of scheduling interactive, but also in terms of the deadlines they need to meet to finalize the status report on the world's population of persons with disabilities, their status. So, Chairperson, while I'm on that note, I can say we have successfully taken the country report through the cabinet cluster system for South Africa. Yesterday we presented it to the cabinet committees and we have hope it was well received. We have hope that next week cabinet will approve and the report will be made public and that we will be able to engage further on report. So we are hoping that we requested cabinet to allow us to make the report public, to refer it to Parliament and to approve the timelines that by March we must have submitted the report. The cabinet committees gave us a green light. We're just waiting for cabinet to actually sign off. So that's the quick feedback on the country report and where we are in terms of meeting our obligations. Lack of implementation of recommendations by member states. What happens is that the committee has raised that in most instances they engage countries, give countries feedback on their areas of weakness, and to an extent countries are not necessarily implementing or doing anything about the feedback that they get from the committee, and that member states were really encouraged to begin to deal with it. The committee also raised issues that sometimes governments send junior officials to these committees to appear before them. And the emphasis was made that these are political committees and that there must always be a political head that leads the delegation and that more senior officials with the ability to make decisions must be sent to all these interactions by member states. Inaccessible nature of the Geneva offices, which is where the committee sits to engage member states, should also be revisited as New York as a headquarters is more accessible. Chairperson, when we left South Africa, we also were presenting a candidate as the committee was briefed prior to our departure. We need to indicate that, just to remind members, the United Nations Committee on Persons with Disabilities is constituted by 18 members who serve a four-year term with the right for a renewal. There were 9 vacancies as we were leaving, and South Africa was looking forward to having one slot. We presented Ms. Sebenzile Matsebula as one of the candidates.
We need to note, Chairperson, that part of the challenges is that South African candidate did not succeed because the African continent as a region submitted 10 candidates. So we, as a region, we could not reach consensus. We submitted more candidates than the vacancies were. And that counted against the region because all the other 8 candidates from all other regions made it on the first round. And on the second round, we only got 43 of the 59 required votes. And as a result, Uganda made it. So the representative of the continent in this term will be Uganda. Part of the challenges that we had, Chairperson, is that due to financial challenges as a department, we could not pull off a proper campaign as compared to the campaigns of other countries. But also we couldn't leave earlier than other countries did. Neither could we host all the fancy cocktails and all of what member states were hosting to support their candidate because we just did not have the resources. But for one day we felt that 43 was a thumbs up for South Africa, and we will be trying to launch our campaign for our candidate in the next, in the 2013 state parties, 6 state parties open as the next elections is in 2014. And Chairperson, to say it is not how good the candidate is, it is how much and how effective the country invests in the campaign of the candidate. What are the lessons that we come back with from the 5th State Parties Conference as a delegation, Chairperson? We have learned that the Convention on the Rights of Persons with Disabilities needs to be viewed as a social contract between government and people with disabilities. And our ability to play a meaningful role in the UN for our ability to play a meaningful role in UN agencies beyond just arriving and making presentations was also highlighted, as a lot of people with disabilities have the requisite skills to actually provide the requisite leadership within other UN agencies. We need to also say our progress in terms of legislation on people with disabilities was celebrated and acknowledged, and also that we have gone a long way in terms of protecting the rights of women and children with disabilities as a country, and that we are called upon to begin to provide a similar leadership to all other countries in terms of legislation. We learned that innovation measures are in terms of accessibility friendly justice system. We have a lot to learn in that subject from other countries who have managed to actually struggle with this matter. And such lessons have been shared in terms of documentation with the Department of Justice for them to be able to implement what is required. But we've also come back having learned the importance of sharing best practice and also facilitating effective participation of people with disabilities in rural areas. We have a lot to learn also, Chairperson, because a lot of countries from the state parties have done a lot in terms of integrating people with disabilities. Subsequent to the 5th Conference of State Parties, Chairperson, what are the ways forward and what are some of the aspects that lay out our international obligations to us? The first one is the directive that was issued by the Human Rights to the Human Rights Council to deal with Article 19, which deals with issues of Article 19, living independently and being included in a community, was one of the immediate directives that was issued, and the Human Rights Council will be convening a meeting to deal with that from the 15th to the 19th of April in Geneva. So we need to begin to prepare a response in terms and participation program on how we have met that particular and facilitated the effective communication and independent living of people with disabilities. There's the issue of equal recognition before the law as part of that session as well. It's just in the wrong place there on your slides, Chairperson. It's supposed to be, that's the second agenda item of the
the Human Rights Council on the 15th and the 19th, we need to begin to say, as member states, are we providing equal recognition before the law? And there is Article 12 on equal recognition before the law that we need to, especially with a special focus on people with intellectual and mental disabilities. And I can say, Chairperson, we are going to get a run for our money, because as a country we have a lot to get up to stage with in terms of issues of equality before the law for people with intellectual and mental disabilities. Then also, the initially when the MDG was conceptualized, Chairperson, the issue of disability was not integrated. The Secretary General has issued a directive to member states through the General Assembly, which is the high-level meeting of presidents, that each member state must report on the MDGs as they affect people with disabilities. We have received the correspondence as a department, and we have forwarded it to State South Africa, as they were the agency reporting on the MDGs for the country. And we have, as a department, trusted them to also put together that section with our assistance to report on the MDGs specifically for people with disabilities. The Secretary General in the directive note has also indicated that the UN will be convening a special session on Beyond 2015, its implications on people with disabilities, as they have been included in the other entities. So now we need to plan Beyond 2015, the implications for people with disabilities. We have not received as yet the documentation in terms of when the Secretary General of the UN plans to convene that high-level meeting. Then we have the fifth session of the Conference of State Parties on the Convention on the Rights of Persons with Disabilities in September, and that is the annual meeting. That will be followed, Chairperson, by the high-level meeting, which is the presidential heads of state high-level meeting, where heads of state need to report on disability development, and that will take place on the 23rd of September as well. To prepare for the high-level General Assembly sitting of presidents on September 23, the Secretary General will convene four ad hoc committees to develop the outcome document for the meeting. It's important, Chairperson, that the committee knows that obligation to us as a department, because currently our missions and our embassies have not developed the required technical capacity when it comes to disability, and relies a lot on our technical experts in the department to lead the outcomes document, so that we ensure that disability development, as presidents will be taking the resolution, is an outcome document that actually is in line with the convention that is also drafted. So it brings another additional financial burden to the department, which we had not anticipated. There will be two regional meetings, which is continental meetings, in preparation on the outcomes document for the high-level meeting. And the first meeting is happening now, called by the African Union, on the 20th, from the 26th to the 30th of November, which, Chairperson, I will be leading the department delegation. It will be preceded by a technical expert meeting where we're sending our official on the 26th to the 28th, and a ministerial meeting on the 29th and 30th. That will look at disability issues in terms of the architect, the agenda, the Continental Plan of Action on Disability, a World Fit for Children, and the Disability Architect for Africa, the Protocol on the Rights of Persons with Disabilities, as well as the Continental Strategy on the Family in terms of social development, social security for vulnerable groups, as well as the issues of the continent's readiness to provide a safety net for its vulnerable citizens. And that is a session of the third session of Ministers of Social Development, Children and Disability. There will also be sub-regional meetings, and SADC, as we belong to the SADC sub-regional meeting, will be hosting its ministerial meeting to prepare for the high-level meeting. Chairperson, working together, we can do more to remove barriers to create an inclusive and accessible society for all.
And that is the message we took to the state parties and that we are carrying as we celebrate in the Disability Month. With your permission, Chairperson, I would like to hand over to Advocate Commissioner Malachi. Even though the commission formed part of the government delegation, they were given the independent status and we therefore would request them to add. And once, with your permission, I think maybe before Advocate Malachi adds, we would, I would then request if there's any additions the MEC and the mayor would like to make of areas of emphasis that I might have left out. Can I hand over to MEC, Chair?
Through you, Honorable Chairperson, thank you very much, DM. Chairperson, let me concur with the report because we have discussed this report with the delegation. The few things that I want to add, Chairperson, was that the issue of sensitive budgeting was also raised as a challenge because when countries are making budget, the budget is very skewed towards people with disabilities. Second, Chair, the issue of our candidates not being able to make it in the committee was also affected by the fact that the committee net was not very much organized because the head of states in the AU, they've given guidance that South Africa and Nigeria must be supported and only the ones that are forwarding candidates. But unfortunately, most of the countries forwarded the candidates. It therefore means we need to be very much organized and be more united as a continent. And last term, the issue of employment equity is still a challenge throughout the world that they were unable to meet the minimum of 2%, and that is what we're supposed to work on as the world, but in particular as the country. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Chairperson. I think the report is a true statement of what transpired there, and I concur with it. There is nothing that I could add on it. It was thoroughly discussed, and we agreed upon it.
We'll then hand over to Advocate. I hope he'll be brief so that we get enough time for us. Because
thank you, Chairperson, and good morning, everybody. Chair, you know, this problem of accessibility and technology, it seems still catching us with our lot, and even in Parliament. You know, I sent my address to the committee here for grailing, but I've not yet received it. So I think this will be remedied. It just shows and goes to show how ICT still played a role in drawing back disabilities. So, in short, you know, we as the South African Human Rights Commission, we work closely with the department with respect to the attendance of the fifth state conference. So the report, as laid out by the Deputy Minister, is what is a true reflection of what expired there and the sentiments which were expressed during the conference. But however, we as the South African Human Rights Commission, we have also our own observations that we would like to draw to the attention of the committee. So I'll ask Judith Cohen to read my address on my behalf, with your permission, Chair.
Okay, she is allowed. I hope it's not that long.
During the Commission's strategic planning for the year 2012-13, it was specifically decided that resources should be allocated to ensure that I could attend the 6 months of state parties.
To date, the Commission has not, with limited funds available, been in a position to send a representative to this meeting. This decision of the Commission indicates the importance of Commission attached to this meeting, where state parties come together to discuss the progress made and difficulties encountered in the implementation of the Disability Convention. My attendance at the meeting provided a useful opportunity to reflect on the disability work of the Commission and also more generally areas in which the country as a whole needs to try to do more. As a preliminary point, it needs to be stressed that I attended the conference in my independent capacity that is accorded the Commission in terms of the Constitution. The role of Human Rights Commission, the National Human Rights Institution, that they are referred to at an international level, has been increasingly recognized in recent years and is often said and is now accepted by many that these independent state institutions form a bridge between states and the United Nations system, contributing to the work and decision-making processes of a number of United Nations forums, while at the same time working to translate UN outcomes. We also have an international coordinating committee which represents over 100 national human rights institutions around the world. And perhaps I should mention at this stage that just last week in Amman, Jordan, at the International Coordinating Committee's 11th biennial conference, the Commission was nominated to hold the chair of this IPC. My attendance at the first conference of state parties also enabled me to interact with a number of stakeholders and hear for myself firsthand the issues that have been confronted as states implement the convention. The conference did not shy away from the very real human rights issues children and women with disabilities face. Whilst I felt an enormous sense of pride when Mr. Wu Hongbo, in his opening statement, acknowledged the enormous achievement of the South African Oscar Pistorius participating in the Olympics against able-bodied athletes, it was also very sobering when he noted that despite the many advances, there remains a gap between the aspirations and the daily experiences of persons with disabilities. He also said, still today, persons with disabilities are much more likely to live in poverty, facing multiple barriers. Many continue to lack access to social services and employment. This statement is all too true here in South Africa. I will speak briefly to the six key issues that stood out for me as a Human Rights Commissioner and also comment on what, in my view, from a human rights perspective, needs to be followed up on an action at a country level. Firstly, there's a need for greater participation by persons with disabilities in matters that affect their lives. In his opening statement, Craig McKibbe, the Office of the High Commissioner for Human Rights, highlighted the importance of disability issues being mainstreamed into the development agenda and also the importance of ensuring human rights approach. I also observed that a number of countries brought children as part of their delegations in order to give effect to the principle of self-participation. This is an area in which all of us need to do more work. Also, I was particularly struck by the presentation by the representative from Paraguay who spoke about the need for greater participation for disabled women and children living in rural areas and how this country has sought to achieve this. Paraguay, incidentally, is also one of the first countries to submit a treaty body report, which brings me to the second issue. And that is the issue which the department has already discussed today around the CRPD report, which is so outstanding. I also wish to note that there's also the issue of complying, not only of complying with our reporting obligations, but also that South Africa still needs to designate an independent monitoring mechanism in terms of the convention. And finally, on matters of international effect, the meeting emphasized the importance of the need for state parties to sign and ratify the optional protocol on a communications procedure of the Convention on the Rights of Children. Thirdly, there were many issues raised around the need to align the country's legislative framework with the convention. In this area, South Africa has over the years demonstrated a commitment to the realization of the rights of persons with disabilities and has passed various pieces of legislation. I was going to mention the Equality Act and the Employment Equity Act. There's also the Progressive Sexual Offences Act that contains sections that create disability-specific sexual offences. However, all this legislation was passed prior to the Disability Convention being ratified by South Africa. It would be advisable that the Department address this issue in order to determine whether there is a need for disability-specific legislation or if legislation needs to be amended or drafted on an ad hoc basis to comply with the convention. Fourthly, there are still too many children with disabilities in South Africa who are not in school. South Africa has still much to do in order to ensure that all children in South Africa receive a quality basic education. There was also mentioned that the state must put measures in place for the development and promotion of sign language for deaf children.
The Commissioner urges the government to comply with its obligations and to ensure that all children with disabilities enjoy access to education. Further, the Commission recommends that 1860 be revisited and developed in line with the Convention. There is a need for legislation that affirms the right to basic education for children with disabilities, which sets out specific measures to be adopted in order to ensure that education is accessible. It is not sufficient that inclusive education is relegated to a white paper. Rather, there is a need for concrete measures to be enshrined in legislation. I'm almost finished. Firstly, the vulnerable status of women with disabilities and the additional barriers that they face in accessing employment was raised during the conference of state parties. Again, while Madagascar has the Employment Equity Act, which identifies persons with disabilities among the designated groups, the target of 2% representation in civil services yet to be reached. This is an area in which Parliament can do much by way of exercising its oversight role. Finally, the issue of violence against women and children with disabilities was also raised. In this regard, there is a need for training programs for relevant government officials and service providers to interact with women and children with disabilities who are victims of violations and abuse. In conclusion, a number of the issues that I've mentioned here this morning are matters on which the Commission has raised in previous meetings of fora with various stakeholders. My attendance at the conference affirms once again the importance of the Commission continuing to pursue these issues and urging government to take action in order to comply with the treaty body obligations. I thank you.
Thank you very much, Chair. We hand over back to Charles. We hope that department, the portfolio committee and select committee will engage the Commission on Gender Equality on their outcomes as they are not here.
Thank you very much, Deputy Minister, for your report. I would have thought that you'd have given one of your entourage the task to make a presentation, and you will be answering a lot of questions from members so that you also have time to take your breath down. However, we really want to thank you for the presentation, and we also hope that last input, which was not actually in the package, will you make it available to us? The one you spoke to at the end, towards the end, where you said it's not, you are missing some page here, and as you were speaking, we couldn't find it here. Okay, please. But I don't want to take much time for members. I would like to hand over to them, but we do agree with you on a lot of those issues that are still behind with regards to persons with disabilities, especially when you come to talk about the IT. And I was also ashamed when you spoke about the accessibility in Parliament, that in the highest institution is not also able to meet the obligations. However, I think with the Deputy Minister now being a person that we know that she's very passionate about this area, I think we will together make it happen. And also one is encouraged by the fact that she also involves other departments which are responsible for the execution of other areas. I hope that we will be able to engage with them, even those deputy ministers that you refer to. Certainly we will engage with the Department of Communication so that they can also be able to clear us on their side of responsibility. And we stop wasting any time. But before I do that, the tools that you are going to be put in place, I hope you actually should make a full effort. Tools like monitoring and evaluation, mainstreaming tools, We've always talked about it, even when we talk about women and children, we are always hearing about them. They are in the process of being, you know, put into place. Even now, up to date, we still don't have them. So we do hope that in your department, you will be able to follow up when the population is concerned. Honourable members, I think there's enough food on your plate. I will now hand over to my co-chair, and then I will give an opportunity to
Thank you very much, Honourable Chair. Honourable Deputy Minister, indeed, working together we can do more to remove barriers to create an inclusive and accessible society for all. I think one needs to commend the department for a speedy response with regard to the presentation. We have attended conferences and we still have many outstanding reports that we need to put before the two houses. In terms of the Parliament program, I think we still left with 2 weeks now before the Parliament rises. Three. We try at the NCOP level to either report and table this report as a statement. I don't see them allowing us to debate it, but it's a matter that will leave for the management to decide, the committee's management to decide. But one is to congratulate the department for reporting back. This shows that as we grow, our democracy is also deepening, because part of what we need to do as deepening a democracy is to hold the executive accountable, and we need to get necessary cooperation from them. We commend you for that, and thank you very much. I also need to align myself and also agree that the report is a true reflection as I was part of the delegation. Thank you very much. I'll then start from my left. Okay, honorable member, to go from the left to the right. Is there any issues of clarity or questions that members would like to pose?
Thank you, Chair. I just want to thank also the Minister for the presentation she just gave. Although we know there are still so many challenges, especially on the employment equity, which our MEC spoke about, which is still a huge challenge, really. But I've got a question now for the Minister. I just wanted to know, I heard you speaking about South Africa's strategic campaign late. I just want to know, was it because maybe of the lack of resources or what? I think I'll end the adaptation.
Sorry, Chair, for my benefit, can you say who you pointed out? And I don't see a left, and I don't see a right. And I don't know what it is.
Okay, I'll keep continuing. And your hand was not up.
No.
Sorry, I'm also short. I didn't see you. Well, I also have my service. So next time you raise your hand in the meeting, you must make sure that you raise it very high, because I'm also very short.
No, the normal way you are saying it.
Oh, well, I can see you. There are four people in front of me.
Mother, stand on that chair.
That will be helpful. Okay, then. It's going to be, remember, I will tell you when your time comes. I'm sorry, comrade. Honorable member.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, and thank you very much to the Minister and his delegation for the input. It's really a great opportunity for us to be able to engage with everybody that went to New York, and thanks again for the presentation. I'm new to this committee, and I've experienced with this committee all the challenges that this department is facing, especially with regards to the rights of people with disabilities. And I would like to know, with regards to the outcomes, Honourable Deputy Minister, I've got some concerns. They are noble goals that states are required to adhere to or to implement, and I just wanted to know whether we will attach any sort of time frame to the outcomes or that is envisaged from South Africa. And also, will these outcomes be shared with other departments, and how do we bring them on board? Because I think we've just engaged some of the departments, and really with regards to access to justice, often people don't are not able to access justice because we don't have the means of communication with regards to education. I've just had somebody that's been talking to me about her child who cannot access education because it's not physically possible for her to enter university. With regards to public works, we've just had public works telling us that they're unable to spend the money that they've got to transform buildings of government because they haven't got people with the requisite skills to actually spend the money. And with the Department of Arts and Culture, we've had them saying to us they're not sure where the process is with regards to recognizing sign language as a language. So, like I said, you know, how do we bring them on board? How do we make sure that we actually expedite these outcomes, and do we have any time frames attached to them? Also, with regards to our participation in the fourth session of the convention of the state parties, I would like to know, I know we went, we also had a country report last year, and if we compare it to our country report this year, whether we made any real progress. And lastly, just to the Commission, the Human Rights Commission, disability rights are human rights, and I would like to know how would the Commission in the next year ahead, how do you envisage your role being to assist the department to ensure that we make sure that the human rights of people with disabilities are respected and actually carried out? Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. I also want to say thank you to the Minister, but I would like to emphasize that if the Minister would have started with the department, I wouldn't be asking these questions today. Because I'm so satisfied with the presentation, but there are a few things that we'd like to have clarity on. And in our language, we say, so I think I have the opportunity or the right to ask whatever I feel that I'm not satisfied about. First of all, Chair, I would just want to find out. The Minister started by saying the people, the delegates pay for themselves, and there are those that were paid for the department. And I'd like to pose a question to say, those that paid for themselves, did they disclose where the funding comes from? Because why I ask that, if only they could have disclosed, maybe some of our disabled people would be included in the funds that they obtain. So I would like to pose the first question, and the criteria that's been used in selecting the delegates. I do understand the Minister said it's of the meetings of a high standard. We should get people of more integrity or people with more knowledge, but I would ask this, that can't the people who are in the delegate, can't be some of the people who would be hands-on in the production of things like training tools and toolkits, so that they can be invited and see how other countries are doing and come back and plow back to our disabled. Some of us are passionate for disabled because we have disabled people in our family. The other one was the same one as that was said by my colleague here. How do we compare ourselves with the past conference? Are we doing better? I think we do better according to what you have told us, Minister. But I would like to know if you weigh your progress to the past one. The other clarity that I need, in your presentation, you mentioned that you mentioned political people needed to go to the conference. I would like to know what you mean. Is this a political thing or is it a government thing? Because you said people should be political in order to do. I need some clarity in what you have just mentioned. I hope I understood you properly, but if I didn't, but I need clarity in that. From there, I think that's the last one that I would like to know. I'll come back if it's end. Thank you.
Minister, Honorable Deputy Minister, can I just pick up on one question? As to clarify the selection of the delegation,
I think you should also clarify who qualifies in terms of member to go there. I think that also needs to be clarified amongst members. Honorable Denise, your turn.
Can I chip in on the question that we are raising? It's not that some people should be included. It's not that we want some other members to go. We just want to know who forms the delegate. It's not for an individual. Thank you.
I think this needs to be clarified as well, you know, because every time when there's this, whether I should call it a trip, I'm not going to be correct. You will always find members not agreeing, many issues being raised, but today, formally, in a recorded meeting, it needs to be clarified as to what informs either the deputy minister or the minister to invite chairpersons and others, but I want that to come from so that in future we should not have that kind of challenges as members. Honorable Denise.
Short sense. The first thing is to thank the GM because this, to be honest, I know you said there are many other reports that we still are waiting. In fact, since I'm in this committee, and I've said in the past, I've been here from middle section, this is the first such a comprehensive report, you know, all covering kind of report that we're getting. And not just in the area of disability, I know you, Chair, you went to many conferences overseas that we still are waiting your report. So we must congratulate the DM because he showed she went out to work, not a shopping spree or just a journey trip. And you look like an American.
Don't make a joke out of this, because this is serious. It's a formal meeting, it's recorded. People are laughing, we're taking it as a joke. Tomorrow morning we'll be reading about that in the newspaper, so I think it's an irresponsible statement that you're making. I don't agree because now you will also be forced to report because you're also part of the delegation. And I think that one can say in this meeting that can be recorded about your attendance and your... So we don't do that, please withdraw.
No, you're taking it personal.
It has to be personal because of the media is present in this meeting. TMG is present in this meeting. If you continue talking like that, then...
We have the right to have the meeting. Don't dictate to us. We have the right to write issues, to make comments. This is a democratic right. Don't take
honorable member.
Can you raise the issue at the end?
Respect me as a chair. Honorable member, I will not let it go. There is media, there is TMG in the city. You cannot say
until the end when I'm finished.
Please, can you when you finish, I humbly request that you also correct that.
Okay. Chair, I'm saying if what I'm saying is not true, then indeed I should be thrown. But if it is true, then I'm raising a valid point. It should be considered that we are waiting on the report. This is the first of its kind. My second point is that if it is possible, would like to see next time the delegation broadening, because I see we've got MEC, we've got mayor from Northwest, but I'm sure we'd like to see other areas also participate in other provinces. Because the United Nations declared, like we said in the past in 1998, that disability in South Africa is facing worse conditions of poverty. So when we go to UN, I'm sure if you are more represented so that you can combat this poverty thing for the disabled people in a heavier way, that I think will assist. That is the second point I wanted to make. The third point I want to make, and as a question also, is there, when we were there, the MSC can remember, we raised the issue that a lot of modern devices and technologies that exist in the third world don't reach out to the third world, to developing countries. And their response was that, look, even people with disabilities, engineers are there in the manufacturing companies of all these devices, and they make sure that these devices are adapted to disability. But the point is this redistribution. They don't seem to be reaching third world countries. And you raised this matter in particular that we should find ways and means that
when they are produced, because they are produced in third world countries, there must be a way that they come down to third world countries. Now, I just want your comment, how you think we're going to tackle that, because if they don't reach out here, as a result, a lot of disabled people can't go to school because there are no tools to assist them to learn. So I just want to know what your comments are about this in of tools, technologies reaching out to disabled. The last one connected to that, in South Africa, as I know, there's only one monopoly of a company that sells disabled technologies. Can't we break that monopoly? Because the monopoly makes things expensive. If there's no competition, as you said, I'm just now putting to the law, can't we assist to make sure that we break the monopoly and there's no more competition, which will enable equipment to reach our country? That's it.
I thought you would share with us what have, the lessons learned in New York, because we're part of the delegation. Now you're asking questions. Honorable Makunya.
No, I have nothing.
Honorable Deputy Minister.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. And thank you very much, Honorable Members, on questions raised. I just need to indicate that we would welcome and appreciate if both houses could present the report and in whatever format for it to form part of the official records of Parliament. That will go a long way in terms of facilitating the planning of Parliament in terms of issues of disabilities, and hopefully more will come out of it in terms of Parliament as an institution. The issue of the candidate, yes, it was because of limited resources that the department had to support the candidate. Just as an example, the Ugandan candidate, the government of Uganda spent, allocated resources for the candidate to spend a month in New York with an administrative, a technical team. We did not have the resources to be able to support our candidate. So, yes, that was part of the problem. But we also did not have the resources to arrive earlier in terms of the number of days. So what we managed, the bilateral that we managed to have, we only had one day because we arrived a day before the conference starts. And that is the 43 countries we managed to meet. One-on-one on the day, and the 43 countries that gave us. We met in total, Chair, 89 countries, and some of them said, we support South Africa, however you have arrived late, we have already committed our vote to somebody else. So it is some of the challenges that we had due to the limited resources, but we are working on it to make sure that we are able to award disabled South Africans an opportunity to serve in this August committee. Yes, the outcomes have been shared with the different departments upon our report, in terms of the report having been sent to all the deputy ministers, ministers, directors general as an activity, for them to be able to look at what the outcomes and how they affect their areas of work. So yes, we have done that. Some of the outcomes are very broad outcomes that we have already implemented in our annual performance plan as a department and in our strategic plan. And some of the departments, as I indicated, that as part of engaging cabinet, we've managed to also raise a number of issues with the respective ministries. But we're also engaging on a roadshow with executive councils, just as some of communicating the disability priorities and the outcomes, and ensuring that they begin to plan responding to that. We have started and managed to place the issue of sign language, and I need to indicate that the challenges of sign language in terms of a South African context is actually affected by the challenges that the PENSAL has, because they are responsible for the development of sign language. As a department, we've engaged them, and we are waiting for the Department of Arts and Culture to resolve the challenges in the PENSAL board so that we are able to hold the language, the PENSAL board
responsible and set and agree with them on a plan of action. With regard to access to education, the department indeed is working with basic education. We've highlighted the challenges to them in terms of teacher training, school registration, the implementation of inclusive education, white paper, 6, allocation of resources, the rehabilitation of special schools, and we are developing models. In the Eastern Cape, we're working with MEC Majudina to rehabilitate a number of schools, with Kaneza as one of the typical examples where we're investing a lot of time to turn around the school and ensure that there's learning and teaching. Those are some of the outcomes and some of the things we started before we went to the late parties, and they all have time frames. With regards to the comparison with regards to the top state parties, I was not at the top state parties. That delegation was led by the minister. I can only rely on information that I've read, so Chair Hassan, with your permission, I would request the committee's indulgence in my attempt to try and compare the two, as it is very different when you read a document and when you have been there. So it will be an inaccurate comparison from my side. I beg the committee's indulgence in that regard. The designation of a monitoring body, as the Human Rights Commission highlighted, we will as a department facilitate, because Article 32 requires the state, as in the executive, to designate that. We will, and I hope my DG is taking note, we will facilitate a CAP memo to ensure that that is officialized. We have always relied on the constitutional allocations, but in terms of Article 32, we required as a state to formalize that designation. As a department, we will ensure that we formalize, we start the processes for cabinet to designate or formally the Human Rights Commission as the independent monitoring body, as the Office of the Human Rights has been requested, so that when they do the audit in April, we will be found to be compliant in terms of having this in writing. So that we will do before March, Chairperson. That process of the designation, at the moment it's designated, but it's not been formalized, because the Human Rights Commission is performing their respective responsibilities. We will ensure that it is formalized. I made the statement and emphasized the issue of payment. Chairperson, the committee has engaged the department on a number of issues in terms of international travel and the expenditure. It was important for me to highlight in this delegation that the department only paid for 7 people, that all the MECs, mayors, and their respective support staff were paid by their respective provinces. It is important for me to indicate to the Honourable Member that none of the delegations had fundraised. Their provinces had allocated those resources to enable respective MECs, which is the MECs, designated by their provinces to be able to represent the provinces, the municipalities as well, and all their technical support. So as a department, the delegation was only constituted by government officials of all three spheres and political principals from the three spheres. It was only the Northwest delegation that managed to ensure that the chairperson of disabled people in the Northwest forms part of the delegation to represent disabled people in the province. And I had indicated it is a matter that the department will ensure inclusion and lack of participation of disabled people does not happen again. We, as indicated, we did not deliberately exclude people with disabilities. We just found ourselves without the requisite resources. That's the first thing. The second thing, Chairperson, that also contributed to the delay was that we left the mandate to people with disabilities to recommend to the department their own representatives, because we did not want to pick and choose a disabled South African we like and begin to say we like this one, but we gave that mandate to the umbrella body of organizations of disabled people. In their deliberation, they delayed to submit because UN Women had committed to pay for disabled women, UNICEF had committed to pay for a disabled child, and UNDP had committed to pay for a disabled representative, which was, and the National Youth Development Agency had committed to pay for the young person.
by the time disabled people themselves finally submit the name, there was 2 days to the conference. The issues of the American visa came into effect, because we all know going to America, the American embassy does have real issues with issuing visa at the last minute. And those were some of the things I needed to indicate, that part of the delay, at the department we approached a partner that can fund the participation of people with disabilities. It is people with disabilities themselves and their own processes that also contributed to the delay and our inability to actually secure visas on time for them to make it to the United States. We did not nominate a delegation. As I indicated in the presentation, Chairperson, the department sent out invitations to all the ministries as per the agenda of the 5th Conference of State Parties. We sent invitations to all the 9 premiers. We sent invitations to all the metros and the district municipalities. Then it was in the decision of the respective provinces, the respective departments, and the respective municipalities to say we budgeted for the event, and we believe that the agenda is in line with what we are doing. All that we received and that we were responsible for was the consultation of the delegation. We also extended an invitation to all Chapter 9 institutions that are affected by the items on the agenda, and hence the Human Rights Commission and the Commission on Gender Equality responded accordingly. Our responsibility was to coordinate the delegation. With regards to Parliament, Chairperson, Parliament is an independent body. We are not responsible to dictate to Parliament who they send to what event. Our responsibility as a department, which we honored, was to send an invitation to the Chairperson on behalf of the Portfolio Committee. So the Portfolio Committee and the Select Committee had the responsibility among themselves to determine who goes. We only waited for the confirmation. So as we do on a daily basis in terms of communicating with the committee, we communicate with the chairperson. In that regard, the invitations were sent to the chairperson as the head of the portfolio committee, not inviting the chairperson as the individual, but the committee through the chair. And the committee had the responsibility to indicate to the committee, to the department, as we are responsible for the accreditation of people to coordinate the responsible, the designated members. And it is in that regard, Chair, that I would respond to the question and provide clarity on the issue of the participation of members. Because Parliament is an independent body, and we don't interfere in how Parliament constitutes its own delegation. With regard to the member indicating the training and the development of the toolkit, allow me to indicate that the Conference of State Parties, there is very little room that happens in terms of training. The workshops that are being run are there, and they are free to be attended by any member of the respective country delegations. When I made the statement around the political representation, I was not referring to a political party representation, but to a political principle, as in a member of the executive at any level that needs to lead, so that it is not only government departments, government junior officials or government officials that are sent, because the United Nations is a political government forum where principals that are given respective responsibilities should have decision-making responsibilities. And it is in that context, when I said a political aid was requested, it was those that are given and are designated as political principals by their respective member states that were requested that member states adhere to ensuring that they send the government officials headed by a political principle, whether it's a member of the executive or at a national level, or the member of the executive council at the provincial level, or it's a mayor. But there needs to be a political designated person, not necessarily what political party, because it is ministers that represent the member states in the United Nations as members of the executive. With regards to I've already begged the committee's indulgence on the issue of the comparison between the two committees and the issue of the political aid. And I've talked to the issue of the members' participation. broadening the delegation, Chairperson, will be an honor and a privilege for us as a department, because more and more provinces, districts, and national departments will begin to take responsibility. However, I need to also indicate that enlarging the delegation might not also be in the best interest of a country as limited sitting areas. So once your delegation goes beyond 40, you stand the risk of being unable to place everybody in the different activities. So also we are guided by the agenda as set by the United Nations on the items and which requisite technical support we need in terms of responding to the relevant questions. When we go to the Conference of State Parties, we are, as member states, required to respond. In this case, we were supposed to provide an update on women, on children, accessibility, and ICTs. Normally, those are mini-SNEP reports that we submit. The Secretary General requests a one-page in advance from all member states to be able to develop a guiding document for the deliberations. This year we have met and complied with all of that, and hence we were given some of the responsibilities as a country that we were given. The issue of monopoly on assistive devices and what our responsibilities are and whether we are able to do anything. There's three responses to that, Chair. The first one is we need to understand that these are intellectual the devices are developed, designed by specific countries and companies within those countries. And the respective member states' intellectual properties, legislations come into effect and govern those particular companies that develop. For an example, I'll pick Freedom Scientific, which is a UK-based company that develops majority of some of these assistive devices. They and their government for economic purposes have blocked, and they are not allowing innovation and within the intellectual property. But also, as a company, they determine how many licenses of what they call distributing agencies they want to give their rights to. In South Africa, they have only issued one license. So the Department of Trade and Industry concurred with that. So one license has been issued to South Africa for any product, Freedom Scientific, or which other the different companies are, some are Australian-based, some are in Netherlands, in America. So each of these countries that develop these assistive devices decide how many licenses they're going to issue. What can we do about it, and what we as a department will be working on? The first thing is, we at the moment we've got limited licenses issued, so we need to begin to engage the Department of Trade and Industry, because some of the products are duplicated. For an example, you've got Jaws as an American product, but you've got Supernova as a British, and then you've got Magic as an Australian. Already that's three different products that are competing for price. Our responsibility is to ensure that we bring engage the Department of Trade and Industry to engage these different companies in all of the different countries that they are based to be able to issue licenses to South Africa. That means South Africans with disabilities will have more product choice, but also will be able to also have compatible prices in terms of the distributing agencies. So that is what we would do. But also, as a country, we need to revisit our intellectual property legislation to say, does it, is it compatible with the intellectual property rights when it comes to assistive devices of those respective countries, that when they issue their license to us, we will be able to protect their intellectual property. And just as a typical example where it has happened, picking sprayers, for an example, which is a pen and paper for a blind person, was only manufactured outside, or they were only manufactured in Pekings in the United States. So when you get your Pekings Braille, that's why it's called a Pekings Braille, because it's manufactured in Pekings. You could only get it there. If it's broken, you must send it back to Pekings. As South Africa, and through also our partnership with the South African National Council for the Blind, 10 years ago we negotiated with Pekings the right to develop a factory
to be able and a request for a license to be able to manufacture packing spray like for developing countries in South Africa. That license was issued to South Africa, and we became the first country that managed to develop packing sprayers outside of packing. And the manufacturing was on rent-based, and we were able to develop. The packing sprayer cost 12,000 rand. We managed to bring the price down to 6,000 rand. The unfortunate part is that as we talk about the packing sprayer that I picked as a typical example, as a department we found out 3 months ago that the factory has been closed in July. And when we found out why the factory has been closed, because the factory ran over 1 million rand. And as a result, all the rest of Africa and developing countries, and we are in the process of nearly lost the license. We are, of course, rescuing the situation as a department, but I use that example to try and say we also need to look at our own industrial policy as a country and begin to build assistive devices in our own industrial policy and see that as a market. We've introduced, as well with science and technology, the issues of innovation, innovative research on assistive devices and the incubator programs that need to be developed. And we are beginning to work with them so that we can also begin to develop our own innovative assistive devices. And that also, with regards to things like wheelchair, for an example, we've established, twinning. Where organizations of disabled people and disabled people themselves have twinned with companies manufacturing these products in different countries so that they can repair and also manufacture. We have 3 sites that the committee can visit on your own site. One in KwaZulu-Natal, the province took it further. They actually training disabled people to develop their own wheelchairs. And it's working very well because it makes them economically active, and they are allocated resources by the Department of Health that is supposed to provide a wheelchair. So the wheelchairs that the government of KwaZulu-Natal is issuing are manufactured by disabled people, and they are repaired by disabled people. And that's another example of how we can find this. In Johannesburg, as well as in Soweto and in the Free State, the group of disabled people have been put together into a cooperative to begin to repair the calipers, which is the shoes, and the wheelchair. So those are some of the examples in terms of giving life to the monopoly of assistive devices. I hope, Chair, with your permission, I have answered all the questions that members have given to me. Thank you so much, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Deputy Minister. Honorable MEC, would you like to make some
addition? Chair, thank you very much. Chair, I must submit to these 2 portfolio committees, the committee and the committee, that as the delegation who went to New York, who could account for each and every delegate that was there, because we developed an itinerary and we allocated each member of the delegation on particular sessions to attend. So I know that here in the national parliament, you always accuse one another of going for shopping. There was no time for that. Now we did not do that shopping. We were there full time because programs started at 8 in the morning up to 1900 hours. And immediately after that, we'll go for a deep breathing session in preparation for the next day. So I want to put on record that we're there full time. Thank you.
And another thing, the thing of disabilities and women to be reduced to shopping, it is wrong, you know, because that's what members do in Parliament. They reduce this to shopping and other things. And we are really not taking kind of that, you know, some of the things we don't have to say them in this meeting. And honestly speaking, Honorable MEC, even if we have shopped, we did not shop during waking hours. The good thing about meals is that they operate 24 hours. So every one of us could be accounted for, and there's even a register to that effect. So even the way our trips were approved and all that, it was wrong, you know, because they reduced it. And it's certainly because of it was issues of stability. Until you become disabled yourself, then you'll understand what that means. And we've learned a lot. So with those words, I don't know if members still have issues to raise. We have a caucus to attend. The Human Rights Council Commission. Yes. Okay. Before we close.
thank you, Chair. Just briefly, I would like to put on the record that there is an effective and a concrete working relationship between the South African Human Rights Commission and the department. By way of example, you know, the South African Human Rights Commission has created and assigned a commissioner on issues of disability. And then the commissioner concerned is expected and is responsible to communicate and work together with the department. And as such, we as a commission, and then I'm the person who's doing that, we attend all meetings of the called by the department for inputs as an independent institution. And then on our Section 5 committee meetings, also as a commission, we have a member from the department who's participating to guide and give us advice as the commission on issues of disability. Again, you know, as the Human Rights Commission Chair and honorable members, you might have heard of the campaign that we were engaged in as a commission on water and sanitation. We made sure that in all the provinces that we went to in those public hearings, that we invited the department, members of the department in the provinces, so that they could participate with us. And we also, with regard to the country report, we as a commission, we have also given our inputs to the department. Our observation has been received by the department. So, in short, we and then, for instance, with this month is the month for disability. Our offices in all the provinces are conducting and launching disability celebrations in the country, and this we do just to, you know, complement the work that has been done by the department. So I think, Chair, this is clear that this is really a working relationship, and then we as a commission, we really see to it that we support the department as far as we can. And then as you have heard, we are also part, the department invited us as the commission to be part of the delegation of the conference on state parties. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much again. I just have last three questions here to the Deputy Minister. I just want to know how does the department intend implementing and following up on resolutions on the fifth state party conference. And then the second one would be, if I heard you well, Deputy Minister, did you indicate that the initial country report, which was to be submitted on the 3rd December, and now it has been shifted to March 2013. And when exactly, how will the department ensure that it is not postponed again? And then the last one would be, how will the department ensure that the initial country report is made available to civil society, to ensure that adequate time is available to develop a shadow report?
Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. The resolution, the department is, as in, we are incorporating the resolution in our work. One of the immediate outcomes that we will come back to brief the committee, for an example,
as part of our going to New York, and we had submitted a proposal to the UN to assist us with resources to develop our MNE framework. And I need to say, Chair, that we have been granted some resources to finalize our disability monitoring mechanisms, and that's part already of what the work we did as a follow-up when the call for proposals was done in New York. And upon our return home, we immediately put together the proposal, and we have been informed that UNDP will give us the resources, and we just waiting. So that's part of saying, Chair, we've gone to New York, we are beginning to integrate some of the outcomes in our work, and we are beginning to follow up in some of the challenges. We have established a Deputy Minister's Forum, for instance, to begin to deal one by one with the challenges that education is having. And disabled women are being put together into a body that will represent their issues. And we launched the movement of parents with disabilities. So since we came back, Chair, we had to work to begin to say, how do we incorporate what requires government, and also how do we begin to the discussions. Part of the discussions were also how we support learners in higher education. We started that, Chair. If you pick up on the 7th, we were launching the Disability Rights Office of the University of Johannesburg. So we had a work to respond to some of the outcomes. We might just not be saying these are the outcomes and how many. So we are implementing the resolutions, and they are informing our stress planning and our new performance. And in our engagement with executive councils, we are highlighting the outcomes as we engage with the leadership. Chairperson, the country report, as I indicated, yes, the country report was supposed to be submitted on the 3rd of December. We unfortunately, while we were in New York, engaged with the United Nations Economic and the UN DESA, which is the secretariat to the committee that submits the report. And we realized that there were a number of aspects that we needed to add. That's the first thing. So we immediately then requested an extension up to March. And that extension, it was made clear that we cannot, and they won't be able to extend it, because a formal evaluation visit of South Africa is scheduled in April. So even if we can jump, but the Secretary General's high-level delegation will be evaluating South Africa's performance in April, in terms of, and they are going to use the country report as a baseline. The extensions were also based on the cabinet and on our own parliamentary and government calendar. As I said, the report will be published next week, officially by cabinet on Wednesday. So, Chairperson, as from Thursday next week, the report will be published. And then that's the first thing. And then we will formally submit the report to the Speaker of Parliament and the Chairperson of the province immediately on Thursday, so that the committees can immediately have access to the formal placement. We have already, in this particular chair, because it's a baseline report, we have held 2 disability consultative forums where more than 1,000 disabled people were engaged to make input on the country report. There was general consensus between the disability sector themselves that because it's the first baseline report, they don't want to submit a federal report, because that's the first country report where the UN expects us to say, this is where we are, these are our challenges, these are our frustrations, and this is how we are going to resolve them. But they will begin to submit shadow reports when our second country report is due, Chairperson, on the 3rd of May 2014. So we are already stepping onto our second report in terms of timelines. But we extended all of the guidelines to accommodate the interaction of South Africans. So they will have November, December, January, right up to February to make their inputs and engage with the report, because we'll consolidate all the inputs received in February and submit the report and get the feedback from Parliament as well, taking into consideration the processes of the State of the Nation and the budget, etc.
and be able to then consolidate the input submitted to cabinet for cabinet to submit it to the UN because they are it's the executive that submits country reports on behalf of the country. We are well, Chair. As I said, our report looks much better. It's compliant. We do have a few departments that are not submitted. We handed them to the President, and the Presidency has confirmed that they will ensure that as part of this public, we are able to get the input. While I have the floor with your chair, with your permission, Chair, I'd like to conclude by indicating also to the members that the President will the 3rd of December is the International Day for Persons with Disabilities, and it falls on a Monday. This year, we will celebrate the International and National Day of Persons with Disabilities on the 4th of December in the province of Mpumalanga, and it will take a form. It will be led by the President himself, and it is called the Snakrola Campaign, where the President himself needs to evaluate the progress made by his administration and whether people with disabilities are indeed accessing services. So he will do roundabouts and also engage with people with disabilities on the day through an invivo to begin to get from them to what extent has their issues be taken into consideration. And we looking forward to welcoming the members in Mpumalanga. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, DM. Thank you. You have really responded to the questions comprehensively, and I think members as it is right, we are actually seeing the light, at the end of the tunnel. After a very long time having paid lip service, to protect it, the rights of persons with disability. I mean, honoring the convention, and I think we are even there. I must say that even ourselves, after the public hearing, departments were very much shaken because we had to come and account after the public hearings, engaging them with issues that emerged from those public hearings. And immediately after that, I saw the newspaper, the Department of Police, the minister actually speaking, to the meeting of the target employment of 2% for persons with disabilities. Thank you very much, honorable members, and thank you to the department, the MEC, the deputy and minister. Thank you very much. And this meeting is adjourned.
I need to thank the team that I led. They were really.